Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
What are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless at taking over the world. Yes!
Hey, everybody! Welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. With me, as always, is my very best friend since I was a very little kid. Mike, how you doing, or what are you drinking?
I'm doing well. However, my family has not been feeling well, and so I am not drinking tonight because I want to make sure I do not get sick. Tomorrow, I am going to Big Basin State Park to see redwood trees. So I want to make sure I am fit for that hike.
Like, alcohol fights that stuff off, man. You gotta get something.
I'm going in the wrong direction. Huh?
You're going in the wrong direction. You're like thickening your blood and making it all like tasty for germs. You gotta thin that shit out and let, you know, vodka just kill it all dead.
You need to put some disinfectant on the inside. Hard alcohol.
Yeah, if you can't shine the light in there, Mike, you gotta get some disinfectant on the outside, and that's called 151, my friend.
Is that why I drink light beer? Because I can get the light inside?
The light in and the alcohol, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a combined
effort. Well,
yeah,
it's just science. At least double down and have sex with demons tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So close to a snarf. No close to a snarf, guys.
So close. That was a near miss there, Mikey. You almost got a beer over the keyboard.
Josh, if you had snarfed, and how are you, what would you have snarfed?
I'm rolling through a variety of lighter beers because I'm trying to not be as heavy, hence the lightness. So I've got this Lagunitas Sumpin' Easy Ale. And it's a passable beer with a fairly low calorie count. So,
all right, sounds tasty. Tommy, my brother, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing okay. I am drinking some Glenmorangie Scotch whiskey, and it is delicious. What are you drinking, Tommy? How are you doing?
I'm doing terrific. Thank you for asking. I'm drinking what's called the Captain's Bunk. It is coconut water, seltzer water, orange juice, light rum, and dark rum, and chipped ice and big ice. And it gets you drunk and hydrated as hell. So, Mikey, this is what you should be doing. It's got the orange juice and the alcohol in there.
Yeah, the vitamin D, the alcohol, and it's light, yeah. With the light color.
That is fighting shit off.
That is.
Yeah.
And I'm a pirate, so this is also good for scurvy. Winning.
Is it good for scurvy or bad for scurvy, though? I would think it would be bad for scurvy. Good for you.
Depends which side of the scurvy argument you're on, Mike.
I'm lawful scurvy. We all know that.
It's true.
Speaking of winning, as I was a second ago, we're going to be talking about co-stars in comic books who were winning. People who were in a comic book, not a sidekick, but a co-star or someone who was in a comic book who just kind of became more popular than the comic book herself, or just kind of outshone the person we're talking about. So to be clear, to set some parameters, we're not talking about sidekicks, and we're not talking about well-established guests, right?
Why can't we talk about sidekicks? We're talking about somebody who stole the comic from somebody. This is Ian's topic, and he was very vague. I don't think we should eliminate sidekicks.
Well, I guess we know what some of Mike's choices are.
No, it's LT's choice. I already told you I'm speaking for LT today.
That's right.
LT, your mouthpiece has argued that we should argue for sidekicks. I already know what you're going to say, so let's start with you, LT. LT,
well,
say comic
if
character.
We include sidekicks, then I think we need to start with Ambush Bug's sidekick, Cheeks the Toy Wonder.
I will drink to Cheeks the Toy Wonder.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're definitely not wrong.
Because he stole the show in every comic book he was in.
It's true.
I mean, from his heroic death scene to his heroic rebirth, I mean, he blew up. He was put back together. He was mourned. He was so powerful that Mikey subconsciously used his text when his own partner died.
Go on, Mike. What was the text?
Dead partner.
Dead partner. Nice.
That was in sales comic books, like Dead Partners.
That's right.
That's what sells issues. I know that's what you were going for. You know, yeah, issues. Issue count's important in everyone's life, but
yeah,
for people who don't know or haven't seen Cheeks the Toy Wonder, Cheeks is really a wooden plank with four eyelet screws in him, with four wooden planks for limbs, and a face painted on it. That is Ambush Bug's sidekick. He's just a inanimate block of wood, and with the occasional not inner monologue from Ambush Bug to the inanimate toy. He's brilliant.
He is brilliant. And he's so well written.
Very well written.
Mike, you look like you're questioning that assumption. Do you also agree he's well written, or do you think maybe it's
as well? I've never seen a block of wood written any better than, except for perhaps Charlie Brown.
Yeah,
well, he was a blockhead.
Sorry, from Ren and Stimpy.
Wait, he was a blockhead. He was the New Kids on the Block fan.
Maybe
that's right. Good man. Yeah, there's the tie-in.
Good callback.
Yeah.
I want to go next because I'm sure someone else is going to say this, and I want to say this because it's one of my favorites. Every time I see Pizza Dog, that's the comic book for me. And Pizza Dog did get his own comic. So I love Hawkeye. Hawkeye's a great comic. But if Pizza Dog's in the issue, I'm only thinking about Pizza Dog.
That's true. I will drink to Pizza Dog also.
Yeah.
Pizza Dog!
Pizza Dog!
Which is a perfect segue for my first choice, and that is Streak the Wonder Dog. Streak the Wonder Dog, first appearing in Green Lantern issue number 30 back in 1948. Streak was so popular after that, he actually took over the cover of two issues of Green Lantern. In fact, the very last issue of Green Lantern Volume 1 does not have Green Lantern on the cover. It has Streak the Wonder Dog. And in the same month that Green Lantern gets canceled, Rex the Wonder Dog appears, which was just a rebirth of the Streak the Wonder Dog character. So, and his comic ends up going on for another... like 6 years after that. So Streak the Wonder Dog, so popular, he usurps Green Lantern from his own comic book and then gets his own.
Neat. I like that. Now, I got a little confused when you said Streak the Wonder Dog because, of course, we all know that Supergirl had a cat, and her cat's name was, of course, also Streak.
Was it Streak or Streaky?
I think it was Streak the Wonder Cat. I can look that up while we ask Josh, who's your first choice?
My first choice, and I'm going with Casey Jones, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I think every issue Casey's in, he basically steals the show. He's just a fun character. He's like the ultimate parody of all the vengeance-type characters from DC and Marvel, except he's also a mishmash of Sportsmaster and just completely ridiculous. I always liked Casey. Honestly, I was a pretty tepid Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan, but I always liked watching the or reading episodes or watching the show when Casey was in.
In case people were wondering, that was my cat expressing his displeasure at not having been fed. That was the noise in the background. It was not a gong. It was the cat just pushing shit off the kitchen counter.
Yeah, that cat, that's how we know the world isn't flat, by the way, because cats would have knocked everything off the edge.
Yeah.
Push it. We got some big cats out there. They could Fisher cats alone could get a lot of our stuff off this planet. And that your cat might have actually been making his displeasure known because I was wrong. It is Streaky, the Wonder Cat. You were right, Mike.
Yeah. Well, what's Super Horse's name?
Super Horse.
His name is Comet, the Wonder or the Super Horse.
You might want to find a slide that says something.
I'll find a different slide, but I'll surprise
will
you all.
Will you find a different slide?
Maybe.
Yeah. No. Absolutely.
Not a lot of slides.
It's a funny joke and it stays. I don't fucking care what you say. If you get me a new slide, Tom, the old slide's still in the trivia contest. So, you can find a new slide. It will be new to you only.
Well, it's hard to find a slide where he's not changing into a human and having sex with Supergirl.
Or where he's labeled Superhorse. Those are just difficult slides to find.
Yeah, those are the two.
True.
Yeah, two things.
Why did she have sex with her horse?
Let's not figure that out.
Because he said he was hung like a horse?
She's an alien. Let's not make judgments.
Yeah, right. No. Yeah. She didn't know what the dominant race on the planet was. If you ask me, it probably is horses. Yeah. Horses are cleaning up our poop. Tommy, what's your number two?
My number two is Jack of Hearts. Because in Jack of Hearts, of course, we know is Jonathan Jack Hart, half human, half Contraxian. He's transformed into this being of pure energy, which he has to wear this suit to contain his energy. And in the Marvel Zombies Squadron Supreme series, Zombie Supreme, the entire Squadron Supreme gets turned into zombies, and they're fighting Battlestar, who's trying to kill them off and save all the humans that are trapped in this base. And in the end, Jack of Hearts, who's been dissipated into energy, has to pull himself together and fight off the entire Squadron Supreme to save everyone. And it was a great series. And Jack of Hearts stole the show.
Does he succeed?
Yes.
Are you lying? You sound like you're lying.
No, Tommy, he does it. Because Jack of Hearts always steals the show whenever he's in a comic.
That's fine. For those of you not in the know, I just loathe this character just because I hate the ridiculous costume and the stupid glowing eyes thing. Don't know why.
Did he recharge a sun, Tom?
Yeah.
He recharged a sun. He selflessly gave of himself, knowing that he might die by recharging a son of his for his race.
Did he die?
Oh, he came close.
Damn it. Josh, what's your number two?
I'm going to go with Bob, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, good. All right. That's a good one. Clap. I'll drink to that.
Bob's, he's your run-of-mill agent. He's got a lot going on. But he finds his way into comics, particularly for me, Deadpool. He just does his thing. He's just Bob. He's just doing his thing. He's trying to help. Bob.
But he made it into the movie, which was awesome.
Yeah, made it in the movie.
Mikey, you got a number two for us?
Yeah, for my number two, I am going hold on just a second. When I first started speaking, after I turned off the mute, there's a big spike, so I have to give it a second. So for my number two, I'm going to go with the most popular female superhero of the Golden Age, Mary Marvel. And I have the numbers to back that up. But after Mary Marvel appears in the pages of WoW Comics as Captain Marvel's little sister, she ends up getting her own comic book. And I know we've talked about the Marvel family before, but to put this into perspective for you, Captain Marvel had WoW Comics and Captain Marvel Adventures. Captain Marvel Jr. had his own comic. Mary Marvel had her own comic. And they had the Marvel Family title. Each of these comics, all five of them, are selling over 1 million copies a month. They were selling more copies a month back in the 1940s than DC's entire line is right now. Even Superman, Superman was losing shares of the comic book industry back then to the Marvel family. So Mary Marvel is my vote. She makes that one appearance in WoW Comics, and then all of a sudden they're like, we got to get her own series. Fun Alex fact, she is also based on what movie star?
Red hair, Greta Garbo.
LT, you got a guess?
I don't.
Judy Garland.
Sure. All right, I see that.
I would see that.
Yeah, for the time, the era. Yeah,
yeah.
Makes sense.
A little more Kirby. Let me go for my number second. Now, LT, your Jack of Hearts was a good pick in as much as it sucked. But it helps me explain mine a little bit better because my character, I think I could argue, gained a huge amount of fame and thing. And she was developed only as a sidekick and only for a TV show. No one really thought the character was going to go anywhere. And that is, of course, Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn shows
Drink.
Drink, all right, good. I won't say she's outshining the Joker. But, I mean, her comic book, her standalone comics, has lasted a lot longer than I think the Joker comics. Time will tell which character lasts longer. And if I'm being honest with myself, I think the Joker will last longer maybe than Harley Quinn. But she's a great character, huge amount of spinoffs. Our own movie, her cartoon is hilarious. We all enjoy that. Second season, I'm 5 in now, and it's really good. So Harley Quinn. And it's kind of thanks to this podcast doing research that I found out that she was really just for the cartoon, the TV show. Though doing a little more research, I kind of think she was based a little bit off of the Joker,
Joker's daughter?
No, the Trickster's sidekick. What was her name? Prank. If you look at the old Flash TV show, Prank is absolutely 100% doing kind of a Harley Quinn character.
Yeah, but if you kind of look at the Teen Titans back in the early or the late 1970s, early 1980s, the Joker's daughter appears, and for a while she goes under the name of the Harlequin. But that goes back to even further to the Harlequin, who was a villain of Green Lantern. So who knows?
Who knows? I'm just saying that
Bruce Tim
himself, yeah. you know what? We should ask that guy.
Yeah, he probably knows.
That guy alive?
Bruce Tim? Yeah, him and Paul Dini are the creators of Harlequin. We probably should ask them.
We should ask them. I mean, it's not like we don't see these guys at conventions, for fuck's sake. Josh.
Is it me? I'll go with Wong.
Wong, that's a great pick.
Like, I mean, just Wong, man. Like, Doctor Strange, once again, not the whole magic caveat thing is never my favorite thing. Wong is a little more reserved, and most of the time when he has a solution, it's an external solution. It's an object or a place. Wong sort of grounds the comic, so you can sort of find something relatable there, where Doctor Strange, I always feel like he just finds an incantation, it's done, whatever. But Wong, on the other hand, like, is when Doctor Strange is like, I don't know what's going on. Wong's like, well, there's this ancient object in X, Y, and Z land. We just need to go find that. And so Wong sort of, sets up the adventure and sort of he counterpoints the idea that magic is this unlimited resource. He makes it so there's a world that has consequences for Doctor Strange, which I enjoy.
Can I say my favorite Wong story real quick, real super quick?
As long as it's about the character Wong and you're using hyperbole or whatever you're doing, yeah.
It's just about Wong.
Okay,
so
okay.
Wong, Wong is very grounded, very cool, and also a sassy, sassy bitch sometimes. When Doctor Strange loses all his magic powers, Wong has to admit that he gave himself to Doctor Strange, not to the Sorcerer Supreme. So he's pissed off that he's beholden and he has to serve Doctor Strange now. And like, I guess I'm your cook. That's it. Wong the cook. You call me Wong the cook now because that's all I am. And I'm going to be here in the Avengers Mansion while you're doing your stupid shit. And I hate you. He didn't mean he hated him. He hated the situation. But he was like the sassiest, prickliest, asshole for like a year and a half being the head cook for the Avengers because Doctor Strange was kind of the consultant when he had no powers. And it was hilarious. Wong would just show up and like half the time, like people were getting attacked. He'd like, hey, Doctor Strange, you got no powers. I can at least fight. Go sit over there. Dumbass. I can't believe I serve you. That was my favorite Wong. Also, when Wong taught Spider-Man spider style. It's my two favorite. Also awesome, that was super cool, right?
Yeah.
Everyone liked that? All right. Tommy, what's your number two, three, I guess, now?
Oberon, Mr. Miracle's friend. Every time he's on screen, every time he's on screen in the animated series, he's always a funny character. He's always got this kind of pessimistic sort of view, and he's always trying to talk Mr. Miracle out of doing stuff, and I find him hilarious.
I'm with you. That took me a second to remember Oberon. And that actually brings me – I'm gonna jump cadence here because that brings me to one of my other ones, and that's Pip, who is a sidekick to Warlock, which I kind of think of a little bit like Oberon. Do you guys get that?
A little bit.
Pip wasn't quite as smart. He was nowhere near as smart as Oberon. He wasn't the teacher mentor that Oberon was. He was kind of the no-bullshit sidekick of Warlock. He was a fawn pan kind of creature who smoked cigars and aided Adam Warlock in his adventures and sometimes impeded him on his adventures, to be absolutely truthful about it. And he was more than comic relief, though, because there was a real pathos to Pip also. He was a creature out of time, out of place, and he knew it. And I thought he was more of a pan. Someone just asked if he was a troll. I think he was more of a pan than a troll, but I'll look that up. How you doing, Josh? And what's your next one?
I think that was all I had. I was trying to think of some honorable mentions, but I didn't actually put anything down. Let me go back to the ticker tape here. I think everybody ran over the other couple. And I can't believe LT pulled Cheeks the Toy out of his bupkis for this
that
one.
That was pretty good.
That was like my pocket finisher, and I feel a little slighted and maybe even a little distraught that I didn't get to pull Cheeks the Toy Wonder out. So, I'm struggling to come up with another one. But
all right, well, we can work on it together. There's a couple of other ones. By the way, Pip was a troll. Pip a troll. I always thought of him more like a pan creature. He was often drawn more like a pan creature than a troll to me. But he was Pip the. He was actually called Pip the Troll. So I don't know why I didn't get that. I'm dumb.
So, and I apologize to everybody who listens and every once in a while hears background noise. I live with two people who don't give a shit about that I'm podcasting, so I constantly have to mute myself. For my number three, I am going to go with first the trivia question, a little fun Alex fact. Can anybody name Sylvester Pemberton's sister? Sylvester Pemberton, if you're curious, was the Star Spangled Kid. Starred in his All-Star Comics and also was part of the Seven Soldiers of Victory along with Stripesy.
Was she Liberty Bell?
No, but you're in the right ballpark. She was Mary, the Girl of a Thousand Gimmicks, also known as Gimmick Girl.
Gimmick Girl, damn it.
She first appears in Star Spangled Comics number 81. And takes over the series from the Star-Spangled Kid and Stripesy. The series only goes 10 more issues, but they kick the Star-Spangled Kid out of his own feature and goes with his kid sister. So I can't think of a better version of a guest star just coming in, and they're like, you know what? We're just going to run with this chick from now on. Her main nemesis was Presto, the gimmick guy. He was a stage magician who did a bunch of rope tricks. All in all, she's a great, long-forgotten character. They did a spoof of her on that that Seth Meyers Hulu show. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah. I was about to say, they did Gadget Gal.
Yeah.
Well, and that was the Awesomes.
The Awesomes, yeah. So they did a parody of her.
Yeah, they did a parody of her, and it was very much like the character, because she had a handbag, and out of that handbag she'd pull multiple gadgets. I loved the character Gadget Gal from The Awesomes. That was actually really good. She was like a saucy old broad who remembers fighting Nazis. Like, you guys were... I can't believe we're fighting bank robbers. I'd like to get my hands on some Nazis again. You can do whatever you want to them, and no one gave a shit.
And a little fun Alex fact, she was also created by Otto Bender, who created Mary Marvel. And one more thing. If you guys are watching Stargirl, it's a cute series. It's just like all the other WB shows. It has a lot of Easter eggs for the DC fans, and I swear to God, they are setting up her stepbrother, Mike, to be Mike, the kid of a thousand gadgets, because they've already had him doing a bunch of science experiments, and he is always tinkering around, and his dad is Stripesy. That is going to happen. Mark my words, Mike. Guy of a thousand gadgets. Gonna happen.
All right.
Okay.
I'm hoping it does happen, because that sounds fun.
It does sound fun.
All right. Honorable
mentions. I have no idea what it's about, Mike, but I always trust your instincts when these things come. Unfortunately, what really happens is your idea is so much better than the producer's and the writer's idea, and then I see what actually happens, and I'm like,
oh.
Man, I hope that doesn't happen with Below Deck. I hope that's good. It's coming. Honorable mentions, guys. There's a ton that I can think of. My favorite stupid honorable mention was the Spider-Man comic book with a Barack Obama in it. You guys remember that one? LT, we looked all over hell for that one because you wanted to collect it, and I never found you one. You found
one. No, I wanted the one with Stephen Colbert in it. On the cover.
The Barack Obama one, too. Stephen Colbert, yeah. That's another good one. Stephen Colbert was in one. And also another good one that's a great example for comic books, the Not Ready for Primetime Players were actually in a Marvel 2-in-1 with Spider-Man. And that is a vastly collectible comic book now, because John Belushi and all the Not Ready for Primetime Players are in it. But people who never bought a Spider-Man comic book or a Marvel 2-in-1 who liked the show were definitely drawn to it. I can't find one of these fuckers to save my soul. Does anyone have a copy of that?
No.
But quick trivia question. Who, during that era of SNL, was not one of the Ready for Primetime Players, but had the most appearances?
Buck.
Nope.
Oh, all right.
Garrett?
The band leader?
I mean, most people I know assume he was one of the Ready for Primetime Players, and he never was. He was never a contracted SNL primetime player.
I'll say Eddie Murphy.
Steve Martin.
All right.
Never one of the primetime players.
He came in the second season.
He came in the second season, plus he jumped pretty quick to go over to do Fridays. You guys remember Fridays?
No.
Right before Saturday?
It's exactly what it was. It was Saturday Night Live on Friday night. They brought over a bunch of people. Andy Kaufman was one of the original cast members for that. And one of the big funny bits was Andy Kaufman did this bit where they were all supposed to be stoned at a restaurant. Andy Kaufman broke character in the middle of the set and said, "You know what? This is stupid. I don't want to pretend I'm stoned," and walked off. It's hilarious. There was only it didn't last a full season. I think it only lasted like 6 episodes.
I still love Kaufman eating ice cream bit. I love the eating ice cream bit. I can't get past the eating ice cream bit. I don't know what it is about that.
It's genius. Like, Kaufman was totally genius. My parents tell me a story where my dad took me to see Kaufman when I was a little kid. And it was during a bit where he was touched the boil on Andy Kaufman's neck. I have no reason why they would lie about this, but I don't remember it at all. But he drove me to New York so I could touch the boil on Andy Kaufman's neck, which, of course, eventually turns into cancer and kills him. And he had a whole night where people just walked up to the stage and touched the boil on his neck. And according to my family lore, I was one of those people. Don't remember it. Don't know.
It was
know
benign until 7,000 people touched it that night. Ironically.
It was benign until I touched it. Holy shit.
This Christ.
So I remember as a kid, I didn't collect the Avengers, but one of the first Avengers that I did get was the David Letterman crossover where Letterman's on the cover and the Beast is getting interviewed by him on The Late Show. I'm getting us back on topic of guest stars, by the way.
Way to go. Way to rein us all in. Nice
job. I've got one more honorable mention.
Of course.
Triple Zero and BT1 in Dr. Aphra. They always steal the show.
That's you know true. What? I was about that's to fair. Shit on right. you, but man, that's fair. Is fair.
That's 100% true.
Those droids. Yeah. Tell them about those two droids, man.
I fucking love those guys.
So they are two homicidal, psychopathic droids that love to torture and kill. They absolutely love it, and that's the only reason primarily that they listen to Dr. Aphra is because she gives them plenty of prey to torture and kill.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, not probable, but possible that those two droids should get their own TV show before Dr. Aphra.
It's true. I would watch a show.
Where Aphra's like a tertiary character, like sort of like around, but to lead what? Into an Aphra series later. But really, we just start with those two fucking droids.
I think
what channel are you going to put that on? Pornhub? Shudder?
Disney.
Shudder.
I will say it's genius. First, the Dr. Aphra character. They were like, you know what? Han Solo's really popular. Harrison Ford played Indiana Jones. Let's just put Indiana Jones in the Star Wars universe. Oh, wait a second. You know what? R2-D2 and C-3PO were the comic relief. Let's give her comic relief, but let's flip it and make them the scariest fucking droids in the world.
Yeah, everyone kind of looks Chewbacca, too.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, I just that Chewbacca is nice. All right, yeah. Let's give
I want to be at the table, where that decision was made and just stare in awe at the people who are like, Yeah.
Let's do this.
First of all, if you're at that table, how much cocaine is on that table?
I mean, it's
it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Mikey, sweet Mikey, what are you at the front of the long box?
At the front of the long box, I have the big all-American comic book. If you have the DC app, that's probably the best way to read it because otherwise you're going to spend a fortune. It's a golden age comic book that they released in conjunction with the World's Fair. And it is a cast of characters in it, including Wonder Woman, the Atom, Johnny Thunder, Hop Harrigan, Green Lantern, Hawkman, Flash, Wildcat. All these great characters have a small little stories inside. It's a lot of fun. I recommend everybody go check it out. It's free if you have the DC Universe app. If you don't try to go find it and read it. It won't be worth it for you. But it's cool because it shows that even though you classically think of the golden age of comics as being dominated by superheroes, you see that they have the Blue Boys, they've got Scribbly, they've got Bulldog Drumhead, they've got Hop Harrigan, Pint-Sized Pete, they've got all these other characters who aren't superheroes that fill this comic book also. So there was a lot of variety back in the golden age, and that gets overlooked a lot.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I will read that.
The Wonder Woman story is particularly great because it features Wonder Woman and the girls from the college going over to help Wonder Woman versus a clown. as if she needs help versus the clown. But Etta Candy is in it, and she is just delightful, even though not really a good depiction of. But aside from that, the murder clown.
Are you saying there's some problematic body issue things with Etta Candy?
You know what? She is so comfortable in her own body, she doesn't give a shit. But the way the other people treat her and fat shame her as jokes is problematic. But Etta Candy as a whole, she thinks she's beautiful and she's proud of it. So there's issues, but
Tommy, what do you got at the back of the long box for us, buddy?
So on the back of the long box, I have Rust by Royden Lepp. This came out in 2016. It's published by Boom Archaea. And it is the story of this boy robot who was built in a time of war. And this war went on so long that that they had to start getting people that were younger and younger. And they also had developed mechanized soldiers for the war. And one of the sides decided that the mechanized warriors that they were going to release next would look like boys, so that the other side would be convinced that they got so desperate that they had to draft boys into service. And they thought that it would be the ultimate sign of desperation that they had to draft all little boys to fight in their war. And it was a really, really good heartfelt story about this robot who was designed, you know, to do all this killing. He was designed to feel emotions, though, so that he would have a moral compass. And he was given all this power, and he accidentally killed a lot of people in one of his first times out. And he went back to where he was built, and he's like, I can't do this. He's like, I can't do this. And he took out his power cell and traded it for one of the old power cells that were not as powerful, that didn't make him have the ability to do such massive destruction, and then flew away. And was basically on the run. And it's this story of this robot after the war, still being on the run, just kind of trying to live his life, trying to pass as a human boy and trying to survive. And it was a good story.
Yeah, post-apocalyptic Pinocchio.
That sounds sad as shit, man. It's 2020. Don't give me that crap.
It was good.
Give me an issue of Pot Stuff.
It was good. You should read it, Tom. It was good. And it wasn't post-apocalyptic.
I want Wendy the Good Witch, bitch. I want an old polka dot. Man, I kind of like polka dot. That was kind of a fun comic.
Have you tried New Kids on the Block?
No. Well, yeah, actually, have. We read a couple last week.
Yeah.
And the one where it was a Wendy's crossover was actually kind of fun. But that's a tangent from what we were talking about. Josh, you're the king of tangents. There is none higher. To burn your kingdom, you must use fire. You won't stop talking until you get higher. Josh, what's our tangent?
I am going to use my time, my tangential moment here, as a callback to a friend of friends. It's a little sad. Our very, very close friends of the podcast, Ian and Tammy, have had their dear, dear dog, Magic, for many years. She was a lovely little lady, and when I went down and visited just a few weeks ago, Magic even broke cadence with her relationship with Tammy and sat near me while I worked at their living room table. She was a beautiful little dog, and she has passed on to dog heaven, of course, where all dogs go because people are terrible and dogs are awesome. So I just want to say to Ian and Tammy, of course, we love you guys. We're so sorry that this happened, but we're so glad that you took a dog in that needed people. And so I feel the same way about my rescues. I've got my two big mutts who I adore, and I can't imagine going through. I am going to be just a miserable snot and tear ridden wreck when Dodger goes. It's going to be awful. I'm not even going to be recognizable as a human being for like a week. I'm just going to be a snot troll, like curled up in the ball of like one of my rooms, and like people from my work are going to call me and try to get answers, and I'm just going to like sniffle and burble. Yeah, it's just going to be snot bubbles and bad answers for at least a week. Yeah.
I cannot do that. I cannot do that. Okay. I had to put my cat down, Guildenstern. I had Guildenstern for a long fucking time. My mom gave me the cat, gave me Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Rosencrantz was a great cat. Died about 4 years earlier. Was a terrific, 6 years earlier, 6 years. So I had Guildenstern for almost 10 years. And I was moving from San Francisco to Memphis. So I went in to get him a checkup, and they said, this cat has an enormous tumor. It's not going to make it to Memphis. I'm surprised he's here. And I'm like, is he in pain? Like, no, this cat, it's on his lower, it's internally. He probably hasn't felt it yet, but he literally only has, you know, maybe a month or 2 months to live. We really should put him down. He won't survive the trip to Memphis. He just won't travel well. And I started crying so hard and so bad. They evacuated the fucking pet place. They evacuated the veterinarian clinic. I came out. This is absolutely true. I swear to Christ on this. I put the cat down because it was alone for a while. And I look out into the hall and everyone's in the parking lot. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I thought like a fire happened. And they're like, we thought you were going to do something. I'm like, I'm just mourning my cat, you assholes. But I was crying so hard, they thought I was like going to go on like a rampage or something.
I am going to go on a rampage if Dodger dies. I don't care. There's going to be, yeah.
I did go on a rampage, but I needed a Gatorade. It was really bad. They're like, and then they go, do you want to hold your cat while we put him down? And that was a whole new fucking level of crying for me. I just couldn't. And I'm bad with death. When you guys have told me about deaths, I've said some of the most terrible and inappropriate things, and I apologize for that. But I'm not good with death. And this cat's stupid death hit me awful. So, yeah. And Lainey has told me a million times, when my dog Tugboat dies, if something happens to me or Tugboat, she's putting the other down. Like, fuck it. We're telling the gravedigger to dig too. Anybody else got a really super sad story about their loved one?
I had a dog named...
I'm going to mute you. I'm muting you right now because I said the awful thing to you.
I had a dog named Bear who was awesome. I got him...
He was awesome.
When I was a kid. And one night in 1997, my dad was walking the dog across the street. A woman ran a red light. Killed Bear and put my father into a coma. And I cry at the drop of a hat. I can be watching a commercial and I'll start crying. But when a situation takes over where I have to take control, I block all my emotions. And so when I found out my dad had been run over and was being airlifted to Worcester for a trauma center, I did not have any reaction. In fact, the woman I was living with was very scared. Like, are you okay? Do you want to talk about it? And I'm like, no, I've got things that I have to do. And so I took care of, you know, what was going on. And this took several weeks where I was, you know, driving out to visit my father in the hospital, taking care of my family, still working, graduating from college. It was a very stressful time. But never had any kind of reaction until about, I guess it was after my father had recovered somewhat and was cognizant of what was going on, and we were all relieved about that. It's probably 2 months after all of that had happened, and my nephews said, Uncle Mike, you were busy with all this, but we buried Bear in the backyard, and we'd like to have a service. And, oh, my God.
For God's sake, turn off your camera. Turn off your camera, Mike. It's not too late. I'm a little bitch, too. Turn off your camera.
My nephews had never seen me vulnerable. I was always Uncle Mike, the army guy who was, you know, in charge of everything. And they did not know how to react to me just in the backyard losing it.
Yeah, I think, Mike, you and I are similar in the operating phase, right? When there's something to operate on, it just gets done, right? There's work to be done, you do it.
You compartmentalize.
I think we're all like that a little bit, I hope.
Yeah. And then at the end of the day, there's at some point where you have to realize that one of the things you have to compartmentalize is not being that way. Like there's just some free flowing thing that just has to happen at some point. And you have to realize those are the moments of your life. And I agree, Tom, we are all do a bit of that. I think everybody does a bit of compartmentalization. I think you're the master. It's not a, in the day and age back when we were all there doing whatever needed to be done, Tom,
go ahead.
Nobody likes ambiguity, right?
Yeah.
And we used to say that jokingly a lot, right? And then just express the sheer pain or vocalize whatever we needed to do. But we did a very good job of keeping ourselves together through hard times. And I think that was it's not a bad thing. It's just how we all dealt with things. And it was apparent. And I hope going forward, we do the same or better. And I just want to say to Ian and Tammy that we're always here for you guys. And everyone, all of our friends, all the friends of the podcast, everybody who listens to us, anybody who's ever touched our lives or been close to us, I say, come to us in hard times. We've been there, we've done that, and we love you all.
And we got your back. And let me do a shout out to Abner, Tommy.
Yeah,
that was a good dog, buddy.
That was a great dog.
Yeah. Abner was a good. What was your dog, Josh? Man, that was a great little dog.
In my early days, we had Pookie.
Hello, Pookie. And then,
no, you didn't know Pook.
Oh, who's the one?
He was before you. That was Brew and Snuffy were my two dogs, yeah.
Brew, I loved Brew. Brew was that. I don't remember Snuffy that much, but I remember Brew. Brew was a good dog.
Yeah, Snuffy got hit by a car probably right around when we all started playing D&D. And then Brew lasted till after I left for San Francisco. He died while we were living in San Francisco, unfortunately. Gotcha.
Old men and old dogs.
Yeah, he was like 16.
Wow.
Yeah.
My vet recently told me that most bulldogs can live till about 8 years old. My dog's about 8, unless they get prostate cancer. But they all get prostate cancer.
The woman who hit my dad claimed that the dog was pulling my dad across the street. And I was like, my 16-year-old dog with arthritis
was pulling.
Just she's like she. He was. I think he was chasing a cat. No.
Yeah. Let me spin another fantasy for you in which you're a fucking idiot. Did everything come of that? Was there any?
No, because the only thing that came of it is they declared bankruptcy, and my parents also had to declare bankruptcy to pay for all the medical bills.
Well, that's no win.
Yep.
That's a no match.
Quick shout out to Oscar, too. Jay, that was a good dog.
Yes. Back when we were kids, it was weird that there were dogs. Like, Oscar was Jay's dog, but Oscar was also a neighborhood dog.
Oscar was too good to be Jay's dog. Let's face this. I'm going to put that out there, and I'm going to fucking die on that hill. Oscar was a better dog than Jay deserved.
There were just kids whose dogs just roamed the neighborhood, and you knew who the – oh, that's Oscar. That's Jay's dog, and Oscar would just come hang out with you for a little bit, you know, if you were up at the park or something. Yeah. It's like Tippy, the Clark's dog. You would be – you could follow where the Clarks were because you would see Tippy – walking down the street, and Tippy was following one of the kids' scent. So if you wanted to find Chris, Kevin, or Ken, you're just like, oh, there's Tippy. Let's just follow Tippy. He will lead us to one of the Clarks.
This is before cell phones, kids.
This is how we found people.
There was a time when if you didn't know where – if someone wasn't home, it wasn't shit for it.
You basically like got on your bike and like – basically did a external spiral until you saw your friend's bikes.
Yeah.
And that's like, how you knew where people were. That was
maybe they're playing basketball. Nope.
There's no other way to figure it out.
Yeah, maybe they're playing Dungeons and Dragons up in Mike's house.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. I kind of missed that. That's why kids are fat.
I had my white 18-speed Univega parked outside of Mike's house all the fucking time.
That was on a bad bike.
I'd get from somewhere to somewhere.
Damn right I would. You don't remember the three-speed Stingrays. And I think that's going to bring us to plugs, guys. And something I'd like to plug is Ian and Tammy Lino over at GeekOrthodox.com.
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 Hello, Tammy.
GeekOrthodox.com, makers and purveyors of fine T-shirts, glassware, and stained glass, the preferred stained glass sellers of one John Barrowman. Tip of the hat, sir.
Tip of the hat.
And also proud parents of the now missing Magic.
There's a little less magic in the world.
A little less magic in the world. Have a drink. Mikey, what would you like to plug?
Well, I'd like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music every week. You can check them out at KirbyCrackleMusic.com. And also our fellow podcasters, Seth and the boys over at whosnextgaming.com and Rad Stacy from the retronetwork.com.
Yeah, maybe we'll have her out in the future. I think she's asked to join us every once in a while, and we'd love to have her. Josh, how about you? Anything to plug?
Do I have something to plug? I was trying to think of something to plug, and the answer is no.
Oh, come on. How about the new bar up the street?
Okay, well, you're right. First of all, I'll go with Friendly Neighborhood Comics, still doing curbside pickup. Still the closest comic shop to my my secret lair. And then right down the street is, of course, Valley Pub. Valley is a V made with a rock guitar. I can't remember what the flying wing
flying
guitar is
guitar.
Called, the flying V. It's amazing. It's a bar.
Woohoo! In this day and age, that's enough, my friend.
It's walking distance. That's all I got to say.
I'd like to do a couple of promotions. First of all, to piggyback on Kirby Crackle, check out their Twitter feed, too, because that's a lot of fun. And, hey, check out our Twitter feed while you're at it, the Long Box Guys at Twitter. We're having a lot of fun out there this week. And we've also talked a lot about wrestlers, including, but not in particular, Brad Cutler, who is the Dungeons & Dragons wrestler that we all like a lot. And he just formed a coalition, and the name of their team is The Initiative. Their finishing move, TPK, Total Party Kill. It is a fun little wrestling group. I hope they get their first win sometime this week. Fingers crossed. But I have bought their T-shirts. Also, they roll a 20-sided every time they come to the ring, and they hold it up, and they don't fuck around. If it's a 1, they show it. If it's a 5, they show it. Haven't rolled a 20 yet. Come on, guys. We've got to get lucky sometime. I'm hoping that they have a pact with everybody. That if they roll a 20, they just fucking win. Doesn't matter what the fucking match is. They just win.
One would hope.
Yeah.
I'd like to plug the Elizabeth Peabody House Food Pantry.
Oh, thank you, Tommy. That's the Elizabeth Peabody House where I'm running the food pantry. We serve, I just did my MSR this week, and we served over 900 families this week. And in this trying time, getting food on the table is incredibly gratifying. If you want to feel incredibly gratified, too, you can go to the Elizabeth Peabody House website, which is easily findable just by putting Elizabeth Peabody House Somerville in any search engine. You can find us, donate a little money if you like. But don't worry, I'll be also plugging that again soon, because as we get closer to Thanksgiving, we're going to really plug the shit out of that.
And Tom, if somebody wants to volunteer at the Elizabeth Peabody House, how do they do that?
They just email or pretty much just email the Elizabeth Peabody House. It goes right to me, and we'll make sure that if you want to help out, you can. I'm going to make all of you guys help me out during Thanksgiving. Just so you know. Welcome to your new world. And I also like to forgot to plug our own Patreon page. That's the Longbox Guys on Patreon /or/ for just $1 a month. How much, Tommy?
$1 a month.
$1 a month. What can you buy with $1, Josh?
I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, like $1 gumball? Come on. For $1 a month. You get an extra podcast every single week that we do, and you get the incredible gratification of knowing that all that money actually goes to, right now, has been going to the Elizabeth Peabody House for nothing but food. NBF. Nothing but food.
Nothing but food.
Yep. And I think that's going to do it for us. Josh, the secret lair. Is that your sector?
The secret lair is absolutely my new sector.
And you're loving it. It looks great. Can't wait to get some. And now I can just give you Ultramarines as a housewarming present, and that makes me incredibly gratified and also not exactly altruistic. The opposite. Tommy, sweet, sweet Tommy, anything fun to say to us?
Hey, Kentucky, vote out Mitch McConnell already. You've had plenty of time. Do it.
All right, I'm going to have to call you out, Tommy. Did you send away for your postcards?
Yeah.
Did you get them yet?
No.
Neither have I. I did the email thing because they sent me the thing. I could do some emails, but I haven't gotten my postcards yet.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's probably a backlog. Plus, you know, Trump is trying so hard to tank the U.S. Post Service. He's doing his best. I said, when you assign a postmaster general that openly hates the post office, that's I don't know if that's impeachable, but it's something, right?
It's about as dickish as you can get.
Yeah, it's about as dickish as you can get. But he also put a guy in charge of the EPA who was pretty much on LT's team.
What are you talking about? I love the environment.
Yeah, and what did you write your last white paper on the environment on?
Look, man, those seals eat a lot of fish. Seals are overfishing around Newfoundland.
Your entire thesis as a senior was clubbing seals is good.
Hey, look. Those First Nation people have been doing it for hundreds of years.
Yeah, First Nation people. How many are there?
Not enough.
Not enough to get the job done? Is that what you're saying? We got to... Well, don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. And if Mikey were here at the moment, I'm sure he would say the same thing.
You'd probably say, save a fisherman, club a seal.
I think he'd say something more along the lines of, what the hell is it that Mikey says? Oh, it's like drunk history, but for comic books. Yeah, thanks. Have a great night. Throttle it like it's a robot cock and put it up to your mouth for a second.
Jiggle the handle, Mike.
Nom. How's that?
Turn it off. Actually, it helped.
It did.
It really did.